For the latest news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring the Boston Bash Brigade, visit our website at www.b3crew.com.
Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/BostonBash Brigade. Follow us on Twitter under our respective pen names.
And don't forget to check out the rest of the Land of Esh programming, including the Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program.
When the sisters are away, the bastards will play. It's time for the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Episode 153. I've heard of teabagging the moonshine, but this is ridiculous.
Bastards and wenches, please rise for the Boston National Anthem.
For Boston, for Boston, we'll sing our hearts and play. For Boston, take 20 times our life away. And ever with a right shot as big bombs and touch me the more in the world. We shout for Boston, for Boston, our glory is our own.
Bastards and wenches, you may be seated, and welcome to another episode of the Boston Bash Brigade. I am King Baby Duck.
I'm Bluonic.
Darkheart was supposed to join us, but he's a Mr. Little Sleepyhead.
I know that he likes the sleeping on the couch, but he's like, I woke up a couple times. I was like, oh,
so
okay.
So did I.
I think I slept actually all the way through the night, so...
Oh, Mr. Lucky, Mr. Fancy Pants you.
No, I'm not that fancy. It's just... It still fucking hurts waking up in the morning.
But why is it still hot in the morning?
I don't know. It just, it doesn't, no matter what I've done, I mean, I could be taking, like, a shitload of pills and still, like, and I mean, like, medicated type pills to, like, help you sleep, and I'll still wake up like I've gotten beaten with a baseball bat. But I think that's my mom actually coming in at night and beating with me with a baseball bat.
Yeah. That's not always fun, is it?
Yeah, well, she does it really good, so she doesn't leave any bruises.
She, like, penetrates you, like, right into the skin.
Yeah, but she doesn't. It's like the phone booth method, you know, how they did in Premium Rush.
Yeah, all right, yes. So, we got a little couple things to talk about. Before we go into that, there's this whole fiasco about this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles script that has been making the rounds.
Oh, fuck.
I happen to have the script on me right now, and have only been able to get myself to read up to page 3.
Where he almost choked and vomited at the same time. So, yeah, he almost suffocated.
Yes. And here's why. And I'm gonna read this but verbatim. So this is like a scene that's happening where, if you remember the character Casey Jones... He's apparently in the film, in this film version.
The Jason mask wearing, yes, hockey puck killing,
yep,
son of a bitch. Yeah.
Yes. So apparently he does play hockey in this version of the script.
Yeah.
So it's going to that scene where the two of them, where he's playing on the team and such. And then this is what the script exactly says. Cataldo, I fucks Casey as he picks himself up off the ice.
Wait, wait, wait. Did he just say fuck?
I fucks.
I fucks?
EYEFUCKS. I fucks.
Oh, I fuck, like skull fucking?
Yes.
What the fuck? What the fuck is that all about?
I don't know. I don't want to know, because that's when I stopped reading the script.
Oh.
I didn't even get to the turtles. The turtles hadn't even appeared yet. This is bad. Real bad. And then Michael Bay was like, oh, there was a script that we said, screw you two years ago. Well, if that's the case, how come the script is dated January 30th, 2012?
Yeah, they kind of fucked up.
Yes. Fortunately, the movie's been put in, you know, on the shelf. Although, chances are it's only going to be temporarily.
Yeah. Why, what's the next Michael Bay movie that we're looking for?
That's probably it, the Ninja Turtles one.
But how does it get put on the shelf?
Does well, because the, because no one can agree upon the script yet.
Oh, fucking hell.
But I reckon someone's going to fart it out, they're going to film it.
And people are going to go watch it, and they're going to hate their lives for it.
Yes.
It's going to, he's, he, I didn't think Michael Bay could have ever turned into an M. Night Shyamalan, but it looks like it's going that way.
I mean, look what he did with the Transformers series.
I still didn't mind Dark Side of the Moon that much, but I know that you're anal about that one.
Yeah. I felt it was a really big fuck you to the fan base.
Yeah.
Anyway, on some brighter notes, there's a new album from one of our favorite bands that just came out.
Lobot.
Yes, The Circle in the Square. This is the third album from the Denver art-rock hip-hop troupe. They were recently dropped from Universal Republic due to the poor sales from their sophomore album, Survival Story, which I did put on my top 20 albums of 2010 back in the day. It's still a great album, just not a lot of people went out and bought it. So, but...
Back in the Nod.
Yeah, back in the Nod.
No, and more or less, it's like one of those things where, a lot of the people that they put music towards are people that are going to, like, just steal it off the internet. So, if you were to find out how many people got it off the internet concept, yeah, it was probably a lot more. I mean, there are, when we went to that concert for their first album, there was tons of kids running around with those bandanas on their faces, and those are the rebel type kids. So, yeah, they're going to probably just go and steal it off the internet.
Probably.
No wonder why they didn't make much money, but all in all, the band is awesome. They are very good live. That's probably where they make their most money anyways.
Yeah, probably the live concerts. And they're now signed on to a new label called Shinachi Entertainment. I think I'm pronouncing that right. And this album was inspired by the recent protests in Egypt, Middle East, and the Occupy movement. And before anyone goes into it, Flowbots are one of those bands that actually does the research as to why these protests happen. They're not... They are part of, like, the...
They don't Michael Moore it. Let's just put it that way.
They are the ones who actually know what the cause is for, hence why they protest it. They're not one of the people... They're not the type of group that, like, just
hey, mentions there's a
it.
Fight over there! Let's jump in it! And then not know what the hell we're fighting about! Brilliant!
Pretty much. Or it's a whole, hey, maybe if we join this, we can get girls.
They got girls. They're good.
Yeah.
But, no, like, as... It's kind of interesting because of the fact that, like, one of their songs from before talked about Obama getting in, and he got in.
Yes.
But yet, I still kind of feel like Obama is kind of screwing things up a little bit.
Well, we're always going to
We're
going to
have a president that screws something up, no matter what. But
There's no such thing as the perfect president.
Well, besides everybody saying Ronald Reagan because they were scared to shit what he was going to do the next day. But, but I mean, for the most part, yeah, it's just one of those things where, you know, to have like a president such as that they went towards, but yet I didn't really notice anything about them saying about President Obama in this because of the fact that, you know, I don't know if they're kind of like backed down from like what they were saying, but...
I think it's more akin to the, I wouldn't say the all one percenters, the bad one percenters.
Yeah. But I mean, the other thing is that the aspect that we're having more destruction in Syria now. You know, it's not, you know, the normal Middle East places. Now it's Syria that's going to hell in a handbasket.
Right.
So more or less with all that fun stuff going on, I'm surprised I didn't mention much about that, but I guess...
Well actually, some of the band members were in Syria and Egypt when that stuff was starting to happen. Yeah. They were like on a trip to see what was going on there.
Hence the circle in the square thing?
Yes. Yeah, for people who don't know, the circle in the square is a reference to the Egypt protests, where it was a huge circle of protesters in that specific square.
Yeah.
It's not a reference to the Circle in the Square Theater in New York City. It's a reference to a protest.
Yeah, I mean, that song was done very well. Mm-hmm. Run, Run, Run was done very well. I mean, the actual, like, just because I was rocking out to the album while playing Counter-Strike, it seemed to work pretty well with playing what I was going around doing.
Although, does that and that contradict one another?
Yes.
Well, listening to anti-war music while shooting people!
Do you know how many people, like, killed in, like, arms race on Counter-Strike? Thank you. Thank you, Fullbots.
I think one of my favorite tracks on this album has to be Loneliness. And I don't know if you've ever seen Johnny Five's Rapid Days, but I believe back in 2010, he made a New Year's resolution where every day for 365 days, he would do a freestyle rap on YouTube. And Loneliness was a song from that rap-a-day thing. Actually, it was a series of raps under Why Don't You Tell Me About the Loneliness. And it has evolved into a great track about calling out for help when you're feeling like lowless of the low.
Yeah. I'm always still particular to System of a Down's Lonely Day. That one's always a strong one. But yeah, I mean, yet again, this Flobots album was done very well. I mean, oh man. Go down the list again of what songs we got.
I think one of the ones that really stuck out for me was On Lost and Having. That was the one where Johnny Five talks about showing someone right in the fucking eyes.
What was the what was that one about the rose petal? That one was a good one.
The Rose and the Thistle.
Yeah, the Rose and the Thistle. That was definitely a very...
Mm-hmm.
That song is... It's absolutely beautiful.
Yes.
It's pretty. I especially love that the violinist slash... Fiddle slash vocalist, you know, when they have her sing, she has such a... Just a gorgeous voice. You know, like, the whole setup that she... You know, when she's singing and whatnot. This coming from an atheist, it sounds like an angel singing, but for the most part, yeah, she's
Miss Mackenzie Gault.
Yeah, Mackenzie Gault. She's gorgeous and yeah, and very talented.
Very talented.
But remember, I mean, when like, she the whole was, band is talented. They're amazing. Like the drummers, the bassist, everybody.
Mm-hmm. But all they are a fantastic band, and I'm actually surprised that they're playing such a small club in October. They're playing at Teaching the Bears instead of the bigger venue that they used to play, the Middle East Downstairs.
Well, see, that's the thing is that when they came out originally with Handlebars,
yes,
you know that song, like everybody was all about, hey, it's that song, and you know turn it, jack it up on the radio and stuff like that, be like, yay. Now, White Flag Warriors, that next one that came off the other album,
yes,
it was. I liked it a lot. But I don't think it grasped as many people as they wanted it to.
I think the issue was the fact it was like, oh, it's not poppy. It's not catchy. Who cares? It's a smart song.
Well, I mean, if you look at Rage Against the Machine, Rage Against the Machine was shitting on everything, but yet they still had like thousands upon thousands upon thousands of followers.
Yes.
Because of the fact that their music is so powerful and uplifting. Now, the only thing is that, like, how Rage Against the Machine, like, they dropped off a little bit, you know, back in, what, 2004, 2005.
Right.
I wish they could have kept going. Like, I really thought that they could have been...
Well, they are still, you know, they got back together, they still do concerts from time to time.
But they're still, like, and they're still holding back from maybe completing an actual album, where System of a Down is coming back into play. And, you know, they're doing this tour and whatnot, they're actually thinking about getting into maybe doing another album, possibly.
Right. I from what I recall, the drummer said, hopefully, summer 2013, we'll all be back in the studio.
Yeah, because it's one of those things where I felt that System of a Down got me through my high school years, and along with Rage Against the Machine, especially against the whole concept of the politics at the time, which was 2000 to 2004, which President Bush was reigning, and it was just an absolute flustercluck, you know, and and then to deal with that after, I mean, System of a Down was still going till about 2007, I want to say, 2008, somewhere around there, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And then they dropped off, and you're like, what the hell, you know?
Right.
And then,
But Surge released Elect the Dead around that time.
Well, yeah, but...
Which was still a pretty good
album.
Still
not System of a Down, man. I mean, I give it to Surge that he's an artistic type person. But going into the whole aspect of, you know, the System of a Down, System of a Down is also politically, like, curb stomp you on the floor while, you know, just make, and like waking you up to the whole the fact of what the hell's going on around you. And,
yes.
And believe me, like, one of our other friends, I think we could name him Psycho Loki, or Loki as he used to be called.
Okay.
On our other program that I used to do beforehand, he was on our radio station before.
Yeah.
And more or less, you know, I recently and stuff like that, he said, He's like, you know, if you never introduced me to System of a Down, I don't think I would have really given a shit about music because of the fact that there was a lot of it was just crap.
Yeah.
So when I introduced him to System of a Down, Slipknot, and a couple other things, he was like, he really got into it, and you know, he brought me to Deftones and a couple other concerts, and
yeah,
like, you know,
and we actually ran into him at the
He was up. He was basically point blank, so he was probably deafer than we were after that show.
Did you ever get him into Flowbots at all?
Well, not really. Sometimes he just picks up whatever he wants, but he probably got into a little bit of Flowbots, but that's the thing is Flowbots is hard to really like get a demographic because it's a mixture of like rock and rap,
mm-hmm.
more rap than rock, but
with a little folk thrown in there with McKenzie on the violin.
And well, yeah, definitely. I could compare it to like Bus Driver / Mumford and Sons, and you know, I can't really pick the rock band really, but to put behind it, but you know, it's got that kind of, you know, setup mm-hmm. to it.
Ooh, Street Sweeper Social Club.
Okay, Street Sweeper Social Club. We'll go with that, especially with Tom Morello.
Yeah,
but that's one of those things where we're trying like to get the actual like set demographic. They're trying to go for, let's say, anywhere from middle school to high school, and maybe a little bit more into college.
Yes.
That's their demographic. So basically, we're past that, but we still don't mind them as a band. You know, we like their whole concept. So, but this album, I feel like it's great. It is great, but I'm not sure how much of it's going to get to the people that need to get it to, that will like the songs and will enjoy it for what it is.
Right.
But that's the thing that I'm wondering about is because they've went from, you know, when we saw them originally, we're like, dude, they're going to be selling out like the TD Bank Garden and stuff.
Yeah,
like that.
I already picture in my head they can have this massive setup and the stage.
Yeah, it's gonna
with McKenzie up in the rafters playing the violin, like she's watching down on people. And
I don't know if I'd go that far. I wouldn't want her to be in any danger whatsoever.
You just want to be there to catch her if she falls.
Yeah, I'll catch her when she falls. Right. And get killed myself in the process, but at least she would survive. Mm-hmm. But no, more or less, it's one of those things where I'm saying that to go from, you know, the downstairs at Middle East back over to TT and the Bears, which I really don't know the venue, but
I've
from understanding that the venue is a bit smaller,
yeah,
Middle East is already fucking small,
yeah,
and that can hold up to what, 250 capacity, 300,
500 downstairs, really? 200 in the upstairs section.
All right, well, 500 down there, and then TT and the Bears probably, what, 300?
Yeah, around that. Because I was doing some research, and the place they played previously was a place where we saw Blood Red Shoes, and that place was small.
That was, what the hell? They played in that place, in Scott?
Yeah, in Alston.
Great Scott or something
like
that?
Yes, they played at Great Scott.
Oh, jeez. What the hell? Anyways, I think if they had a setup where they put in for, like, the hash shell, that would be perfect. Like, even though if it could have been, like, one of those free, like,
yeah,
you know, free venue kind of things, that could get their whole process back up. I mean, I remember going to one of the free concerts for, like, Earth Day or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I saw Cake there, and it was just absolutely amazing. So for them to maybe get like a venue like that, if they came around here at the right, you know, right time and do all that other stuff to promote more like a world peace kind of aspect with their music, then yeah, I could see that. But as of right now, it's kind of hard to say where they're going to be going or where they're going to be in the next couple of years, because I really don't want to count them as a one hit wonder because I like a lot of their music.
Yeah. But, well, they also had the hit with Rise as well.
Well, yeah, Rise was awesome as well. But yet again, that was, I think, the first album?
Yep, that was also Fight with Tools.
So, with Fight with Tools, they went from that to
Survival Story. And now to this.
But with Survival Story, it didn't do as well as it could have been.
Right.
But I feel that still some of the music is very strong, and this album has backed that up. But I'm still like, come on, you gotta push the envelope. I don't know if we gotta get another shitty president in there and get them like the juices flowing. But yeah, if we could get that going, I'd be happy.
You see me, I'd be too scared to put a shitty president into.
No matter what, we're fucked. It doesn't matter. I know this because I'm a victim of it, and I I'm sitting there working a part-time job and still on unemployment, and it fucking sucks ass. It's one of those things where I had a good job going, and it just didn't work out, and trying to find a new job is damn near impossible now.
Yeah, it's difficult for our generation. Absolutely.
And the whole concept, I can't completely blame Obama for this shit, but I blame Bush, too. Yeah. I blame about all the presidents, basically, that we've had. It led up to this. It basically, that's how it went. Everything has led up to this.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
So more or less, we're not as bad off as how it used to be, like Dust Bowl style. But we could get there, and maybe a little bit even worse. So
yeah,
just when you think you're 6 feet under, you can always go a little bit deeper. So
yeah, just as soon as you think you're 6 feet under, here come the maggots to eat you.
Yeah, exactly. So, but what do you feel like rating this sucker?
I'm going to give this album a 4.7 out of 5. And let me tell you something. My work is really cut out for me when it comes time to do my top 20 albums of 2012. There's just so many great albums that have come out this year.
Yeah, but I'm thinking this one's going to be up a little... Not near the top. It's going to be a little bit back.
Okay.
So top 20?
Yeah.
I'd say number 16 or 17. If that.
Because, you know, I'm not just counting here in America. I'm also counting in Britain, in Sweden, in Japan.
Germany.
Nothing really from Germany.
Shut up, Germany. You got Rammstein's Mein Lein.
That was 2011.
I don't give a shit. It's part of 2012. But right. Anyways, it's one of those things where, you know, this album was great, but I'm still trying to figure out on the demographic aspect. I mean, take a listen for yourself. Go on, like, Amazon. And listen to, like, the little like, 30 seconds to a minute, like, clip of the actual, like, song and see what you feel about it. Or otherwise, just find out what song they did a music video towards or go to their website. You know, yes. I think it's just flowboss.com.
I think it's flowboss.net, actually.
Whatever. Flowboss.net. And go check it out and see what they got playing for the new album. And if you like it, pick it up. Just help them out. Help them out on the CD sales, more or less, but also go to their concerts if you can. So,
because they are very, very excited.
They're very energetic when they're on stage. It's impressive.
Come on. It's really a quagmire.
Yeah, it's really a quagmire. But I think for the rating, I'll give it a 4.2 out of 5, which is respectable, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's still a great album.
Still, yeah, it's above a 4, but
yes,
it's still one of those things where... I like it, but it's like the demographic aspect. It's really getting to me.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe the live performance versions of these songs will be better.
Most likely, yes.
Yeah. So, moving off of music, Blanc and I went and saw a very nice little movie yesterday.
Yeah, let's just say that this movie is one that you maybe shouldn't bring your significant other to.
Like this one did.
I didn't think it was going to be that bad. I was not expecting that. All right, you know what? I expected Gary Oldman to light somebody's fucking car up.
Yes.
But not nudity. Not somebody's getting his neck cut.
Mm-hmm.
Not a guy with a tumor getting his throat punched in with with brass knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like me to take back your moonshine?
Oh, God. When did that happen? Anyways,
we're talking about the movie Lawless, which is based on the novel The Wettest County in the World by Matt Bondurant. Why does that name sound familiar?
Because it's based on probably his relatives.
His grandfather and granduncles.
Oh, God. So let's talk about moonshining for a second here.
Yes.
Moonshine is something that you could do that would be legal at home. It's not like if you go and buy a beer, mm-hmm. beer setup, like you go to like William and Sonoma and you go and pick up like a beer kit, make your own beer at home. That's perfectly fine. Moonshine, not so much because of the purity of the alcohol content. Uh-huh. Now, I'm not saying like if you go and it takes a shot of vodka or something like that, and that's like what 30 proof or whatever the hell you want to.
This is like 150 proof.
This is like 200%, like full out, and it's bad for
this
you.
This shit will make you go blind.
Yeah, shit can make you go blind if you keep drinking it.
It's actually kind of funny when we did the whole World of Square thing last week with the video. They they brought in legal moonshine.
Yeah, yeah. They've been there's been doing with the legal moonshine, but that's the thing. Like in the movie, it basically says you can make moonshine out of anything.
Yes,
and that means like I've watched. Corn. There's a show. There was a show on last year that was about moonshining and stuff like that. And it was following one of the moonshiners that he let him in to like show him how they were doing everything, and then they were showing the cop aspect of trying to find the moonshiners and all this other stuff, which was very interesting. But basically, there was one episode where the guy's like, "Oh, I got like a couple hundred pounds of bananas or something like that I could bring to you," and blah blah blah, this and that. And he's like, "All right," and he paid the guy. The guy dropped off all the bananas, and they made like a banana moonshine. And I was like, holy shit. I was like, they really can make anything out of it. It's just like, you get them fruits, you get them all this other stuff. As long as there's a good quantity and they could have it sit in a distillery and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And what they do is they have a special coil system and everything. Like, they have it heated underneath. And what it does is it runs through the coils and it makes it, like, that much stronger. And they'll drop it into a thing and then they'll pour it right back in and they'll, like, if you go and drink a Smirnoff, when it says triple distilled, that means that they put it through the thing three times. So yes, that's why it makes it stronger.
Mm-hmm.
So these guys, they do this in... It's called moonshining because they do it at night. Under the cover and, you know... Which was funny because in the movie...
They were doing it in the daytime.
Well, they were doing it whenever. Well, you can do it whenever, but it's just... It's called moonshining because usually it's better to do it at night.
Yes.
But what it is when they do, when they showed like the whole thing, it's like, oh yeah, we used to have the moonshine distilleries and blah 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 and this and that, and made it, you know, and made it look like the hill like it was a Christmas tree, and they showed it, and there was like the dots in the thing because you could see the flames that were coming up.
Yeah.
Nowadays they have it set up so that it's like almost underground in the hardest place to find it. It's got camouflage, so whenever like you know the planes are flying overhead or helicopters are trying to find something, it's really hard for them to find it because of the camouflage aspect now.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like that's the thing that is the hardest thing to do about moonshining is that it's so like illegal that like the ATF will come knocking down your front door and you know take your whole setup away and give you the biggest heftiest fine they possibly can and then put you away in jail.
And then break the neck of the nicest boy in your group.
Yeah, but that's the other thing is that. But that's the old style. The new style is like they can't really they have to give everybody the rights. That's the thing.
Yes.
Criminals have more rights than most people in their whole entire life. So with this movie and stuff like that, it's I wanted to was it placed originally in like 1916? I want to say 1913, somewhere around there.
Well, they talked about the prohibition starting in the 1920s, and it jumped to 1931.
Yeah, but a little bit before that. Is what they were talking about beforehand when they were
yes.
They're driving around in the truck and they have all the moonshine in the back and they're dropping it off to people. Hell, the cops even were in on it and they gave it to the cops.
Right.
So
because back then they knew it was a stupid law.
Yeah, they kind of had a feeling that it was a stupid law, but also like who are you, like these guys were so like crazy in the sense of who they were. Some you know they had like legends about them like they were you know.
They're immortal.
Well, they're immortal, but not only that, they had a bit of Cherokee blood in them, or this and that, and
mm-hmm.
But it's one of those things where that they kind of stayed true to their word, like they kept on getting like shot, stabbed, whatever,
yeah.
And they ended up living, and it was kind of a running gag at you know one
yeah.
point, you know, especially
Tom Hardy playing
Forrest. Yeah, and not Forrest Gump, we're saying Forrest. He you know, it was very interesting because, you know, the whole setup with him was his
ear to ear.
Yeah, he did get an ear to ear, but this was after, like I said, him beating the shit out of these two guys and tossing them out, and then I thought the other guy that got punched in the throat was dead.
Yeah.
I thought
it looked like it. Dude, you saw
the
blood.
Well, he had a tumor hanging off his throat. It was around his jugular.
Mm-hmm.
Did you notice that he had like a big lump?
Yeah.
He punched him right square in that, and that's why all the blood came out of his mouth. So he dropped him. He was completely out. And then the other guy was held down by the crippled boy that had a gun to his head, and then they dragged him outside after beating the shit out of him, and then that was that. But then when the pretty lady left, you know, that basically staying there, I can't remember her name off the top of my head, But she left, and he figured that, like, he's like, I can't figure out why my engine is opening. But he's awkward, too, so he kind of had that awkward, like, talk to him, like, what the hell is going on here? And then he went over, and then that's when he got attacked, and he got his throat slit.
The legend starts
that he walked into the hospital like for like what like a couple of miles out or something like that from where they were.
Yeah.
So
in the snow.
So, but lo and behold, it was some other thing. But apparently, he even believed his own legend.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean that whole setup was
he wasn't the most talkative type compared to when he was Bane in Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. But I do like that little comedy thing where it shows him hug.
Yeah.
And it's like, no! Hug me, damn it! But with Tom Hardy, he did a great job because he was playing like the badass. He's the older brother.
Mm-hmm.
God, what's his name for the middle brother? He was in Chicago Code. He was...
Jason Clark, Howard.
Jason Clark, yeah, I was playing Howard. The thing about him is he plays a good drunk. No matter what I've seen him in, I've seen him in a couple movies and Chicago Code and stuff like that. He has that black hair with the light blue eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And for this, it made it even better because, like, he was drinking so much moonshine that, like, his face, he looked like shit, but his blue eyes would still be there. And you're like, Jesus, you look like shit. But those blue eyes are, like, piercing and scary at the same time. So, but with, like, that whole setup, like, they decided to go and, you know, do distilleries, like, big, massive distilleries, as big as they possibly could go, because they were trying to make, like, I think 1,000 gallons or something like that of moonshine, like, a week or whatever.
Yep.
So.
As part of the deal.
Yeah.
Getting paid by Gary Oldman's character, the mobster Floyd Banner.
Which Floyd Banner... I sadly have to say it wasn't used as much as I thought it would have been. He was a very small, essential character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he comes rolling up while Shia LaBeouf's character is sitting there, you know, moving cases of, like, the stock and stuff like that into the back of the thing for them to make up their moonshine. Gary Oldman's character comes popping out of the car, pulls out a Tommy gun like he's just pulling out a driver for his golf bag, and just waits till this car comes around the corner and lights the whole friggin' thing up and kills three people.
Mm-hmm.
And that part was done. It was beautiful. It was pretty awesome that they had that whole setup where, you know, he's pulling the trigger and the whole car is getting riddled by bullets. I have to give it to the guys that do special effects. Because it's very hard for you to tell the actor to go, I need you to point here, point here, point here, point here, because this is where the bullet blasts are going to go. I need you to move left to right in this amount of time. And when they're doing the bullet setup, they have a special like line that's coming from the actor, or otherwise it's probably by radio waves now. That when
they're
pulling the trigger, it's sending a signal to each thing to blow up.
Yeah.
You know, so when they did that whole part where they riddled the car, it was done very well. But yeah, next to that, like, seeing that he was the next county over, there wasn't much to, like, really account for him, because what it was, all the people were moonshining there and driving it over to the other part of the county and getting their money's worth over there. So, but I mean, this also kind of shows you, like, how the South was kind of racist at the same time. Like, they delivered cases to a group of black or African American people. And
might I say, that was, like, one of the weirdest funerals I've ever seen.
Yeah, they were giving him, like, beers, and he's, like, sitting upright with a cigarette in his mouth and all those other stuff. I'm just wondering how the hell he stood him up. But he looked like a wax figure, too, at the same time, so I'm saying that, like, you know, they probably did some stuff to him.
Yeah.
But yeah, they did, you know, the guys were going to deliver, and Shia LaBeouf's, like, checking the thing, and he gets, you know, almost accosted with, like, a guy wielding a knife and all this other stuff, so... You know, of course, he dropped the N-bomb a couple times, blah, 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 this and that, and more or less, it goes to show you that we have come from a different, you know...
Era,
but we're still... I don't know, there's still something wrong with us if we can't just let people do whatever the hell they want, you know, more or less between being whatever color they are, skin, because they were born that way and they can't change it.
Right.
But next to that, sexual preferences, all this other bull stuff, but...
Sexual preference, religion, all that fun stuff, lack of religion and all that, too.
women's rights.
Yes.
Stuff like that. It's just one of those things where this movie goes to show you, like, a lot of the stuff that people had went through back in the day. You know, like, it was kind of, like, oppressive because while these brothers and stuff like that were making tons of money driving around in, of course, Fords.
Yeah.
You know, like, Ford old Roadsters and all these other cars.
Well, there really wasn't much competition back then.
There was not, and there was barely any competition back then.
So you had got a Ford or a Buick, I believe it was.
That, or they did have a few Dodges or something along those back then, or Chevy. But it was, like, because of the fact of Mr. Ford himself, you know, creating, like, the assembly line, he was able to put things out more. So when you have that process going backing you and stuff like that...
Yeah,
you screw
her. Hence, what Jack was saying to the girl he liked, the preacher's daughter, is saying, "Not many people can even see this car, much less drive this car."
Yeah, but yeah, it also showed like all the people that were, you know, losing their houses and homes and stuff like that because that was the error that happened. The Dust Bowl came in, and they showed the big dust cloud coming in. I thought there was going to be a little bit more of like a thing, but they kind of just breezed by it. They're like, well, that big dust bowl thing that came over, and it just shows this big dust cloud coming in and, like, everybody running away from it. But, he's just like, yeah, well, everybody else was out on their, you know, asses and stuff like that. He's driving by in the car, you know, basically giving them the finger, saying, ha ha, you poor fuckers. Because they were the ones that were, like, when the guy Pierce came in, the special deputy that came in from Chicago.
Special Agent Charlie Ranks.
He was the creepiest fucker ever.
I know. When I first saw him, I thought he was the guy from The Green Mile.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But two totally different actors. And Greaseball. This is the best way for us to describe this
character. Well, that's their whole thing. Was back in the day, it was hair tonic. And, you know, like, that. With us, we're like, oh, can I get a tonic? And it's like, somebody will give us a soda or something like that. You go down there and you say, yeah, can I have a tonic? They'll be like, you want something with your hair? That we don't have that here. We're soda, you know, or something along those lines. But that's the whole thing where he had straight black hair, but he had almost no eyebrows, or they were dyed white, and he was pale white. And of course he got pushed over the edge when he was called a Nance or something like that. So
yeah, and that's when I don't really want to spoil that part.
Yeah, I don't want you to spoil that part either because it was interesting. But yeah, this movie definitely has all the above, sex, violence, and a lack of rock and roll because that wasn't back then, but, you know, the whole...
Although you do have to give it up to him for the soundtrack for this movie.
Yeah, the soundtrack was very interesting.
The name of the band in this soundtrack is the Bootleggers, but the vocalist is fucking Mark Lanegan, one of our favorite vocalists who's done work with Queens of the Stone Age and Screaming Trees and...
Yeah.
It's a good soundtrack, too. It's got, like, Willie Nelson in there, Emmylou Harris.
But, back to Guy Pearce's, whole thing where he came into play and, you know, the commissioner or whatever the hell it was at the time was trying to make it so that they were stopping the whole bootlegging because, you know, the politics, and they were forcing them to try to stop that. And of course the sheriffs didn't really want to go in and get in on it, but Guy Pearce's character
forced them into
doing it because of the whole law aspect and them losing their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But with the setup that they did with you know, all the other bootleggers fell into the whole trying to pay, you know, the Guy Pearce and stuff like that. What was it, like $100 a week or something along the lines, where it's kind of hard for them because most of the distilleries, you know, it takes them a little bit longer to make the stuff in order to sell it, in order to pay the thing. So a lot of them were getting, well, there was a whole tar and feather, you know, part when they did that to a guy, and it was pretty brutal.
Mm-hmm.
He
basically turned him into a crazy looking chicken man.
Yeah, basically. But yeah, like that was the thing, was Forrest didn't want to go with that group. So with that, he kind of said F you. And that's one of those things where all the situations that happened after that, that's what basically caused, that was the cause and that was the effect of everything that was going on in the movie. And
yes.
They did, you know, a spectacular job with this movie.
Now, how do you feel about Shia LaBeouf's performance in this movie?
Well, Shia LaBeouf did a great job playing a little bitch like he is. It's easy for him to play that bitch. I mean, when he did the movie Holes or something like that, was that it?
Yes.
Yeah. when he did that movie Holes, he played a bitch. It was perfect. He's good at playing a bitch. And then especially the Transformers movies, his character running around like a little bitch, it was perfect. It's perfect for him. So for him to be the younger brother, to be the one that, you know, he couldn't even shoot a pig when he was younger.
Yeah.
So that means he was a pussy. But for him to his character finally get balls to do something such as that later. But yeah, his character was done pretty well. He was the one that was running around playing a little bit of grab ass with that girl, that the preacher's daughter.
Which, by the way, I'm a Christian, and I've never heard of, like, a denomination of foot fetish Christians.
That's because I was back then, dude. And those look, they look Amish, dude. They look Amish, yeah. So, that was one of those things where, you know, that whole setup came in. But Shia LaBeouf's character was basically... He was just supposed to be the young kid that didn't know what he was doing, but then he tried to start getting balls, and he still made stupid mistakes, and he paid for it. So, yeah, I guess they I didn't think Shia LaBeouf would have been a good character in this movie. I really didn't. I thought he was going to fuck everything up.
Yeah, we thought when we saw the trailer for this movie, we thought, all right, this is pretty good, but it's Shia LaBeouf. He's probably going to be the weakest link. He was actually one of the stronger characters in this movie.
Yeah, but Tom Hardy, I have to say, was one of the strongest characters, one of the stronger characters in the movie. Just due to the fact that he didn't have to say much. He was that whole, you know, it's like when the woman goes and asks him about, like, getting the job, he's like, meh. He just, like, walks in the other room and starts, you know, figuring out the money. But I mean, his character was the concept was, he says, it's not about showing the violence or something along those lines, but, you know, how you walk the walk or something along those lines.
Something
like it was that. Something along those lines, but his concept was speak softly, but carry the biggest fucking stick out there, because he was a big guy, you know. I mean, he was still kind of jacked up because of the whole fact of, like, the Bane movie. You know,
yeah,
because
they were filming at the same time.
Yeah, which is kind of funny, You know, the doc over here said they were... Yeah, go ahead.
Gary Oldman and him probably shared a plane back and forth during production.
Even though in the movie they never saw each other in person.
Yeah, which is weird.
But that's the one thing that I'm saying is when it comes down to, like, the OK Corral fight, the last one, at the end, near the end there, I was expecting Gary Oldman to come in fucking guns blazing again, but it didn't happen. I was kind of disappointed, just to give you a little heads up about that. Maybe a little bit of a spoiler alert. Mm-hmm. But yet, I think that's because of the fact that he was doing so much with the Dark Knight, they decided to leave him out.
Right. Though he knows how to play a good shovel.
Oh yeah, he does. But,
but altogether, this is a fantastic movie, and it was written by one of my favorite songwriters, Nick Cave, who also did, like, this great Australian Western movie called The Proposition, which was also directed by John Hillcoat.
Yeah.
He got a great script. For me, it kind of reminds... They kind of treated the Prohibition era in this film like Deadwood treated the Wild Wild West on HBO.
More or less... Well, I didn't get to really watch a lot of Deadwood, but from my understanding, like, what I noticed in there, they treated it like it wasn't even Prohibition. They just kept going. They said, fuck it. We don't care what you say and what you're going to do, and if you're going to come in, we're going to just fucking kill you. So, yeah, this movie was done really well. I think we can rate it now.
Yes, we can rate it now. This is going to be one of those movies that I feel like there's going to be some people out there that are going to win some awards for this film.
They might, or at least get nominated.
Yes, at the very least, at least get nominated.
Because I know that a lot of the people that was from the Batman movie that were in this... Mm-hmm. They're not going to get nominated because of the fact it's Batman. Nobody, barely anybody from a sci-fi genre type movie will get a nomination. I mean, hell, did what's his name?
Heath Ledger won the Oscar for Joker.
Well, I think that's because of the whole fact that he, you know, was that before or after he died?
After.
Yeah, I thought so. That's one of those things where they gave that one away. But like, let's say, what's his name that plays Iron Man, you know?
Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr., he's played Iron Man, he's done Sherlock Holmes, like, he's done very good work, but I don't see him winning any awards.
He was nominated for his part is Charlie Chaplin, but this was back in the 90s.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying is a lot of these people, like a lot of Hollywood doesn't find that these movies that come out, you know, have any say in getting an award.
Which is a shame because they do some deserve it.
At the, like, that's the thing. Like, for them to do a running gag and, like, you know, have fun with the actual movie and do acting so well that they feel like they're living the actual movie.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell then? You know, that's really good acting right there, but that's beyond me.
Yeah.
But
I think I can give this a strong 4.8 out of 5. This was a damn good movie. This is almost like stick it on a wall, frame it quality.
Yeah, this is one of my wall movies. Like I've wanted up on the wall. I have a couple other ones that are up on the wall that I like so much. So yeah, I was going to lean towards a 4.8 myself. This movie was done very well. It gives you a little bit more of an education, but also it has the flair of, you know, sex and, well, not drugs so much, but alcohol.
Yeah.
Really good alcohol, apparently. but yeah, I mean, this movie really brings out, like, you know, kind of a history factor of what these brothers, you know, it's based on a true story and basically what they did and dealt with back then, so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would suggest go and see this, but probably not with your significant other unless they don't mind blood,
yep.
Sex, and a little bit of gore. But
yeah. Some gore.
And some gunfire, but yeah. Actually, that's probably one of the only little disappointing things about the movie. There wasn't much gunfire. There was only a little bit of gunfire. That was it.
Yeah.
So, with that said, next.
Let's move on to the only demo that really came out that
this past week.
Yeah. Well, there was another one, but it was another one of those stupid Konami Pro Evolution Soccer ones that I couldn't give a fuck about.
I thought that already came out.
They had two.
They had fucking two?
Fucking two. It was like, wait, hey, come on, give us a try. Hey, listen.
I mean, there's some sports that maybe shouldn't just be on, like, playing, like.
Yes.
I don't know. It's just me. But all right, just I guess we can give this a once over here. The Rock Band Blitz.
Yes, the Rock Band Blitz. This is another more
asinine. That's all I can say. Asinine.
Well, this one's more akin to Harmon X's previous titles, Frequency and Amplitude. But I understand your frustration.
I think it's more like DDR.
You think it's more like DDR?
Yeah, like they had DDR for your controller. Except like that's the thing that sucks about this game. It's like, no instruments required, and you're like,
but that was
I look over to the right of me because when I'm sitting on my couch, I look over at my drum set. I'm like, apparently you're obsolete now, drum set. See you later. Then I start playing with a controller, and I went, yep. Back to the main page. Pop in some Rock Band. Pull over the drum set and start fucking playing again. I was like, you're not obsolete. That game sucks ass. As I bang on my drums. But no, it's just it's kind of weird. It's like a road.
Yes.
So picture yourself on a road, and these damn cars that come out of nowhere, and then they take a left or right, whatever.
And you can switch between.
You can switch between five paths, which is you got drums on your left, your bass, your guitar, and from left to right you got drums, bass, guitar, singer, and then piano.
Yes.
So what you're trying to do is trying to switch between all of them and gain points. While, like, you know, it shows, like, the times and whatnot. You're using either your joysticks or the A button and D-pad, which is kind of fucking stupid, I felt. I felt it was fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, more or less, you're basically, when you're doing the drum things, you're, like, clicking your drumsticks, I mean, like, the controller sticks to the side, like, they're, like, drumsticks. And I'm like, this is bullshit! I don't like it! You know, this is, like, I was really disappointed with this game.
You kind of go into like automatic mode once you figure out what it is. Like, all right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right, left, right. One of these days,
yeah.
Your heart will ruin. Blah blah blah.
Yeah, it's just. I mean, that was the thing that really kind of. I was like, well, how are they going to do the singer part? And you're doing the same thing. Like, you hold down the stick when he's like holding a note or something like that, and you're like, oh, this is fucking stupid. Like, why would you do this? But apparently, like, people have, like, cling to it like a beta to a honey's nest or something like that. That's pretty.
It's fun. Rock Band. People are gonna buy it. That's.
I love Rock Band. Don't get me wrong. I love Rock Band. I only like it more or less for the concept of drumming. I don't like Guitar Hero or the guitar aspect of it. That's why I like Rocksmith. Rocksmith gives you the capabilities of actually trying to learn how to play a guitar.
Yep.
Drums, that gives you a little bit more of an opportunity to actually try to play drums, even though there's four pads.
Yes.
Or if you can get like the Ion drum kit where it has the whole like cymbals and drum pads. That's one of those things where it gets to me where it's like, what the fuck? You know, like I want this whole setup to be like as real as it possibly can. Play the game and enjoy it and not have to be struggling with these goddamn plastic guitar controllers. You know, it's like if you have a guitar, you buy Rocksmith. Actually, they also have the bass setup now.
Yes.
So if you have a bass as well, you pop in Rocksmith into your thing and you download the special stuff for the bass part or just play guitar, you learn how to play guitar. Like yes. I've been actually learning how to play myself, so it's been very interesting. Like sometimes, like when you get fucking pissed off, stressed out, or whatever, hop on that fucking game and start putting your anger towards trying to get this game correctly.
He's got blisters on his fingers.
Yeah, giggity giggity.
But with a game like Rock Band Blitz,
it's a waste of our fucking time. It really is.
And they should have gone more over the route to this other game that came out called Sound Shapes. Where it has original songs by, like, Beck, Deadmau5, Jim Guthrie. And what you gotta do in this game is you gotta actually collect the beats to help make the song itself. And it's totally one of those sorts of games where you can actually have a party going on and people can dance to it while you're playing the level.
If you have a good surround sound system.
Yes.
Which I do. Which is amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
But it's PSN exclusive, so I think you're going to have to nudge Darkheart to let you
go. Oh, that's fine. We already got his shit hooked up to the internet, so we just have to pop it on the his TV.
Yeah.
It's all set.
And one more thing about Sound Shapes that gives it the one-up over Up and Blitz is you can compose your own songs in that and share it amongst the rest of the world. Kind of like on like Little Big Planet, how you can create your own levels and share it with others.
Trails Evolution does the same thing too, so.
Yep, that as well.
But yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where whoever put their time and effort into this, I wish they could give some of your life back because it was just a fucking waste of time.
I heard our friend from Stretcher Gaming is going to be putting out a review of this game.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't think I could give them kind words because of how this game went. It's download it yourself and see what the hell we're talking about. I mean, yes, you could find it interesting and whatnot, but yet, at the same time, if you've played the game with the instruments and whatnot, you're not gonna like it at all.
Agreed.
Because it's, you know, I feel like playing the drums and stuff like that for the Rock Band has helped me. Like, you know, I've been able to lose a weight from playing drums, you know. I got Rock Band 2, and I was, I've been playing the, they had like 40 songs in a row. And I split it up between Darkheart and I, and we went to town on it. And I did 10, he did 10, I did another 10, he did the other 10. And we spent like 4 hours on it. That's how much fun it was.
Yeah.
So it does a lot of, you know, does a lot of work out on your body, but it's just, it's fun. That, you're just sitting there. I mean, if you're a person that might not be able to move properly or is in a wheelchair, that might be the game for you to at least try to do that.
Well, if you still can use your arms, you can still play all the instruments and sing.
Do drums, but, well, not with the bass pedal, but, you know, I'm just saying, like,
oh, true.
But I'm saying, like, that game is more or less set for those people that can't more or less move, but they want to enjoy the music. I feel like that was made for more like the para type people.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all in all, I can't give this game a respectable number at all. Like, I almost want to give it a -0 just because.
Yeah.
But with my rating as is, to waste somebody's life for us, I'll give it a 1.8.
I think I could give it maybe a little bit higher, 2.5 out of 5.
Oh, you would, you whore.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm you know, I'm a guy who likes music-based games, and this isn't the best one, but it's not the worst one I've ever played.
Yeah, well, we've seen worse.
I've seen worse.
Much worse.
Yeah. So, on that note, why don't we stick a fork into this podcast?
Yeah, I know, people. We didn't have much going on this week. We apologize. But we are going to go see a concert tonight.
Yes.
Or today and this afternoon.
Our friends The World of Square featuring Bright Primate and Sam Mulligan. Some awesome video game-based music. We're going to be, I don't know if we're going to be rocking out to it. We can maybe do a little bit of dancing.
That's probably one of my issues, is I'm not going to be able to mosh pit and knock somebody the fuck out. But
because it's illegal in Boston. Boo! So
they could break it all up, but they're not going to get me. No, just kidding. But yeah, it's going to be kind of hard to, I mean, unless it was like Mumford & Sons, at least you could try to do it, but
You can always jump around the Mumford & Sons.
This maybe not so much.
Yeah.
But yeah, I gotta go and enjoy that.
Yeah, and then we got another concert coming up. And then a couple weeks we've also have the Boston Festival of Indie Games.
Yeah, we gotta go and check that out. That was actually, it was pretty funny because that guy introduced himself to me first of all.
Yep.
We were recording, what's his name there?
Jonathan Colton.
I keep fucking forgetting his name. It's not like I don't like the guy. I like the guy. The guy is really good, and you know he's awesome and whatnot. Just my brain has been forcing to shut down and farting everywhere as of lately. But
you know, I was listening to Jonathan Colton's latest album yesterday again, that Artificial Heart. It's so good.
Yeah. But let's put it this way: we were doing the interview and whatnot, and I'm being cameraman, and of course. Out of nowhere, this guy comes up to me, and I give him the Boston Bass Brigade, and he goes and gives me his business card right off the bat and says, hey, blah, 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 you know, hey, we're going to be holding up our event and whatnot. So, and I was like, oh, okay, great, I'll pass on to, you know, our fearless leader, Panda, and and we'll see what goes from there. And apparently they sent it to us. So I got to make sure I get my my thing in so I can go. I thought I checked it off, but I don't know if I did or not.
All right.
But more or less, just to make sure that, you know, we're all going.
Yes. Yeah, so. We got some pretty awesome things coming up, so look out for that episode in the near future. What I think we'll plan to do with that one is, instead of a regular episode, we'll, like, interview some people.
Is it a one-day thing?
Yeah, it's just one day. It's not a three-day weekend thing.
I don't feel like staying in Boston again right now.
No, not until March. That's when PAX 13 is going to be.
Right.
Which is going to be awesome again.
Yes.
But, so, remember, visit our website at b3crew.com for recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the B3 crew. If you have any questions, comments, anything you want us to talk about, you can reach us at thebastards@bossbrigade.com. I'm on Twitter at king_bb_duck, and Bluonix under Bluonix.
Yay. we're also on facebook.com/bossandbassbrigade. And if you don't want to just type it all the way the fuck in, just go and type in Boston, and then Bastard, B-A-S-T, and by that time you should be able to pull up it should have our logo next to it, which is a black and red symbol, so you just click on that, and then like us, and then you'll find out everything that we've been doing, and everything that we've been putting up, which is we've been doing pretty good with putting up all the articles, and movie reviews, video game reviews, everything we possibly could. I recently put up Badass Hybrid Hunter with William Dafoe there. What have you been putting up lately?
Let's see. I've recently put up a couple of news articles about Twisted Pixel's new game, Loco Cycle,
She showed me the motorcycle. It looks fucking hot.
Yep. There's some new news about the Boston Festival of Indie Games. I just posted a review of Azura's Wrath.
Nice.
And a couple other things, too. We've been busy motherfuckers.
Yeah, we've been busy, not just on this front. We've been busy on our life front, but yeah.
Yes.
We're doing what we can to get it to you, and we're trying to get some more writers underneath us so we can always give you as much possible information as we can.
And poke them with a stick, too.
Yeah, don't mind poking people with sticks.
Yeah.
It's always fun. So, we also want to say thank you again to Electric Sisterhood for always helping us out and being there. And then we also have, Matt the Wad.
Geek Aggro.
We also have Western Mass MMA. We're working on our alliance with them. They've been going to events, so whatever events that we can't go to, because I've been down on my luck with money lately.
Yep.
If they can go and they can send it over to us, go to, you know, we'll put it up on our page, and you can click on their link and get to westernmassmma.com, I believe, or is it
.com? Yes,
okay, .com.
They're good friends of us. They're not affiliated with us, but they're good people that we like to help promote and help.
Yeah, they've been great guys to sit next to at events to, you know, comment on stuff that's going on and whatnot. So yeah, they've been a great help to us, and we're trying to be a great help to them too. So we're,
you know, maybe we should invite them.
Yeah, we'll invite them sometime.
Yes,
But yeah, I mean, for all of that, we have, you know, all the other companies and like Richo's for photography, just a bunch of other things.
Yes.
It's all good. It's all good.
Yes. We have a nice clip.
Yeah. So we're working on our affiliate page still, trying to get these other, you know, groups out there, but you can check out all the other groups that we have.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, until next time, this is King Baby Duck. Reminding you, you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard, but it sure helps.